Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. It's good to be back. One more Thursday. Amen. We are grateful to God for keeping us from the last time we got together to now. And it's only by his grace and his mercy that we're still here. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study and show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sheila G., it's good to be able to get around the word of God. And I think sometimes we take it for granted that we have been blessed. I was thinking about that as I was studying to prepare for the lesson, that we're in the 26th chapter, the 28th chapters of the book of Acts. And I was like, wow, this has really been rich. It really has been a blessing to actually be in the middle of the 26th chapter, going in chapters 27 and 28, and just to see the history of the church has been an awesome thing. And to know that as we study this, that we can see the church of the first century is still the church in a lot of ways of the 21st century, and we have a lot of work to do to spread the gospel. And in this 26th chapter, where we left off last time we were together, we were talking about forgiveness of sin and how we have responded since we received forgiveness of sin by Jesus Christ, and how Paul, even in this late period in his ministry, that he's still proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Dr. G, that's one of the things that God left on record for us to do, is to go and teach and preach to all nations. And one of the things that we see all through this book of Acts is the presentation of the gospel. I believe it was early on that Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, because it is the power of salvation unto the Jew and the Gentile. And it's still the power of salvation to those that are lost. And this is what Paul is talking about in this chapter 26 about preaching and turning people from the power of darkness to the light of God. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And that's truly what we need to do today. It's funny, that's what our Sunday school lesson last Sunday was talking about. Jesus is the light of the world, and with him being in the light, he chases away all darkness. And when he was saying that he was the light of the world, the Pharisees were accusing him of proclaiming himself without witness. But he was saying, well, you're judging the light based off your fleshly eyes, but I'm saying my God, my Father sent me to be the light, and so that I can, through the light, chase away all darkness and wickedness. And that's what's missing today, is we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, so we are supposed to be the light of the world by letting Jesus shine in us. And we see the fact that the church, those of us that know the Lord, have not stood up and been the example like Paul is here. We've wavered based off, you know, whether it's political reason, whether it's power, whether it's we don't want our friends to talk about us. But if we would so let that light shine, like Paul being a bold soldier, then we could chase away the darkness and the evilness that's in this world today.
Amen. Dr. G, that it's the same message. And what's so interesting is that down through the years, we have continued to preach that same message, and it still has the same power. And I know a lot of times people, it's the same message, we preach that and we taught that, and you know, I don't need to hear that, I don't need to be a part of that anymore. But I think they forget that that there's, Satan still has power, and he's still trying to blind the minds and confuse those that even say from following Jesus or following the light, Dr. G.
And you're right. And the thing about all of that, because I found that each time you read a scripture or you preach a message, there's always something new that mm-hmm. comes out of it. So, you know, we can't stop preaching the same old thing. Folk used to say, I preached it because I didn't get it right the first time. Well, whatever. But it's mm-hmm. the same message. It still has the same power, and people still need to hear it.
Amen, amen. It is the power, and it's teaching people to have faith in him. So if we look at chapter 26, Paul is from the book of Acts. Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's standing in front of Governor Festus, and they're putting on this big pomp and circumstance. Paul is the new hot topic, sort of like in today's society. Sheila G, what's the latest viral? What's the latest viral event that's on social media? And so Paul is the latest hot topic on this social media, where the Jews are trying to kill him because he's coming against their power structure, and Felix is trying to keep, not Felix, I'm sorry, Festus is trying to keep the situation under control because he don't want to get in trouble with Caesar. And so they're playing this game, and, you know, the world plays games, and God saves souls. And so when Paul is the latest social media hot topic, he gets right back to that gospel, and as he's standing before them, he begins to preach this gospel, and it starts making these folks, start making them uncomfortable. And that's the thing about the Holy Spirit and the gospel. The gospel will find you where you're at, Doc. Well, you say it's knocking on somebody's door, stepping on toes. The gospel will knock on somebody's doors and step on some toes. And it will make people uncomfortable. If it starts exposing sin, and so Jesus came that we might be delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. But let's go to Acts chapter 26, verse 18, and see what Paul is starting to say to these people that are he's standing before, Festus and King Agrippa and the religious leaders. After in that verse 17, Jesus told Paul, he said, "I knocked you from your high horse, and I'm gonna rescue you from your own folk, and I'm gonna send you to the Gentile, and you know you have to learn to be a servant. That God's not always gonna send you where you want to go, but he's gonna send you where he needs you to serve him best." And so in verse 18, he says to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And see, that's the problem is we won't go and serve where we won't serve. We don't want to serve where God wants us to serve. And Paul got knocked off his high horse and he said, "Don't worry about these Jews. I got them. I need you to go speak to these Gentiles." And you know, that created, stirred up a whole bunch of stuff with Paul, the Jews, and Agrippa, and you know, Agrippa was the kingmaker. In other words, he's the one that regulated how things were on the Jewish side, but he was in cahoots with the political side, with the Roman government. So, you know, these were the big wigs. They were running things, all of them corrupt, sort of like today's government and sort of like today's a lot of religious institution, corrupt, just trying to stay in power. And so Paul said, "I come to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." So that's a powerful thing that he is saying. He's saying, open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. In other words, it's like there's a difference between light and dark. If you walk in a room where it's pitch dark, There's nothing there. There's fear there. There's confusion there. You can't walk. You're scared you're going to stumble. You don't know your way. But when the light is shined, it dispels darkness. Yeah. And when the light dispels darkness, then you can see. Then you can have sure footing. You can have a sure foundation. You can use senses that you can't use in the dark that you can see. And this is what Paul is talking about, turning you to spiritual light, where you can see, where you can understand, that you can have a proper perspective of what's going around you. Whereas if darkness keeps you in a vulnerable position, where in light, it gives you a new position. And so this is what Paul is saying. I want you to come out of darkness into the light so you can see, have a new footing, a new foundation, a new outlook on life. And so he continues on in that. He said, "Turn you from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." He said, I want you to see the process of forgiving of your sin, not only forgiven, but to be sanctified or set apart for God by simply your faith. And Paul spoke earlier in this chapter, he said, you're saved by grace through faith. And when you understand that it's a simple faith in the power of God, the forgiving power of God, then what happens is that will bring you out of darkness into God's marvelous light, Sheila G.
Amen. And it's such a simple message that he's trying to just convey to people the truth, recognizing that people are hurt, that people are suffering because of sin and because of darkness. So he's offering an opportunity for the people to come out of darkness. And so it's not like you said earlier in the chapter, it's not like I'm trying to hurt people. I'm trying to help people. But they're taking such a simple and loving and high message and turning it into something awful. It's like I want to throw you in jail. I want to kill you because you're trying to help people be saved. When you put it in that simple term, they just look stupid, but it's blinded by power. The Pharisees and Jews and even the Roman soldiers, blinded by power, blinded by position, and it really makes me think about the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine. And instead of saying, you know what, I messed up. I should have left these people alone. The president of that country, of Ukraine, is running it. They're doing their own thing. Let me mind my business. Because of power and evilness, he doubled down to the point that Putin doubled down of President Russia to the point where his people are going hungry, his people are dying, his people want to leave, and they're still blowing up people, innocent people, all about that ego and power, and it's accomplishing nothing. And this is where you see Paul is like, all I'm trying to do is help folks out, be saved, but you all want to be a stumbling block. For what? Because you yourself can be saved as well. And when you look at it in terms like that, that's where good can overcome evil, because evil is just plain stupid.
Amen. Amen. And this is what Paul is sharing with them, that the contrast between following Satan and following God. And that's the simple message for those of us who live on earth, is there's a contrast between following Satan and following God. You can't follow both. you can't serve two masters. You're gonna love one or hate the other. And so Paul is saying, I'm providing you a contrast. Either you're following God or you're not following God. And I think, Dr. G, that is the rub, that people want to have it both ways. But God he's saying you can't have it both ways. Help me out, Dr. John. I'm not going to meddle tonight. Help me out.
Okay, I'll meddle for you, but you're absolutely right. We live in a day and time where folk want to have it both ways. They want to have God in their life when problems come and situations come, money problems and all of that. But then when things are going good, they don't need the Lord. And, you know, they've gone on doing about their business and everything else. I mean, that's why, after the pandemic, and, in a way the pandemic was good because it separated those that were serious about serving the Lord and those that weren't. And it's a shame to say, but when you look at what has taken place, that the people are just going through the motions. You know, they're not real. They really don't want to serve God. They don't want to give up whatever it is that they think they have. And you and Sheila were talking about the religious leaders and the political leaders. I mean, it's the same thing that we got going on now. The first century, no different than the 21st century. The styles have changed, but it's still the same thing. It's about power. It's about, living in the dark, because the dark gives them more, so they think.
Right.
They don't want eternal life later on, but that's where those try to have it both ways. They figure, okay, well, if I do enough here, then when I die, I can still make it into heaven.
Amen, amen. We're going to see Paul has come to the conclusion that he's going to follow Jesus. And when you have a heart that's been fixed and your mind made up, you're going to do what thus said the Lord, and regardless of what your friends say, regardless of what your husband or your wife say, regardless of what your children say or whatever. When you've been changed, Paul saw the light. He was knocked off his high horse and had his life changed by Jesus. That makes a difference. And when you have that conversion, when you have that encounter with God, what happens is everything else gets put in perspective, and you become a servant to God, and you're no longer people pleaser. You're no longer trying to please the flesh, but you're trying to please God. And so Paul continues in Acts 26, verse 19. He says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." And again, King Agrippa is, like I said, he's the kingmaker. He's the influencer of that time, if you will, that had the influence of who would be in position of status or power with the Jews. And so he was rubbing shoulders with the Jews and with the Romans. And so Paul, as he's being led, is speaking to Agrippa, because he knows if he gets this information to Agrippa, he'll put Agrippa in a situation where he's going to have to make a choice. And see, that's the thing about politicians. They don't want you to call them, or influencers. They don't want you to call them on the carpet.
Yep.
They want to be able to play both sides and get money from both sides. And so Paul is saying, I'm going to go to you, King Agrippa, big grip. We call him Big Grip. And Big Money Gripper, we're going to speak to you, because we know, Paul says, I know you know the word, because you know the people to put in place with the Jewish people, and I know you know the Roman folk. And so he said, I'm going to put you on blast on the spotlight and speak this gospel to you and see how it's going to affect you. And Agrippa going to start, he's going to start getting uncomfortable. He's going to start squeezing and squirming in his chair and start stuttering. And he's not going to be comfortable, because he knows that the word of God is true. But if he says one way or another, then it's going to pit him against his folk or against the people that have him in power over here or power over there. And that's the crazy thing about being in power. When you're in power for the wrong reason, or you're not using power for the proper reason, what happens is you abuse power. And that's the thing for our society today, is people that are in position of power that abuse power, all the way up to the top levels of government, all the way down to the lowest level of government, all the way up to the top level of religion, down to the lowest level. You got people in the White House, people in Congress, people in the Senate, people in the branches of government. You got this whole thing with, you know, these Supreme Court folk that are I don't even know what to say about them, but they call themselves in power and they're supposed to monitor themselves and ethically respond, but they ain't doing too much a good job on that. And you got the religious leaders in the pulpit that gripping people for money. Then you got the media folk that are gripping people for money, grifting people for money. And it's just one thing after another about ultimate power, because ultimate power corrupts ultimately. And that's why we need God, because that's the only way that we can have our hearts changed and our minds fixed, and to be able to love people the way God would love people in spite of ourselves. But but because of this, Paul was knocked off his high horse and said, you need to go talk to these people. Talk to King Agrippa, because he's playing both sides. And so in verse 19, he talks straight to Agrippa. And when he talks straight to Agrippa, first thing he says, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. In other words, this is my focus. I'm not talking about my vision. In other words, he's basically calling Agrippa and everybody on the carpet, because the Jewish leaders know all of the prophets were pointing to this, because Agrippa knows that all the prophets and all the Jewish people were pointing, and the word of God was pointing to this, because the Romans know the power of God. That's why they're trying to make peace with the Jewish or the people of God, because they know the power of God, but they want to have it that structure where they remain in power and let you do your thing. But Paul says, I'm not talking about any other vision, but I'm talking about a vision from heaven. Now everybody is on blast. Everybody's in the spotlight saying, if I say this, then I'm talking about God. If I do this, then I'm being disobedient to God. If I do this, then I'm disobedient the vision from heaven. And so now everybody's gone to the corner with their mouth open, scratching their head, trying to play it off, and God's not having it. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what, if you stand the truth, you can stand. If you stand on the truth, you can stand up to any controversy. You can be uncomfortable. You can see that people are attacking you. But if you know that God is taking you through a situation, you don't have to worry about it. And like when we were studying Sunday school, about when Jesus in that scripture was saying that he was the light, and they were saying, oh, you're saying this on yourself, and you know the ritual is that you have to bear witness. Well, just like Paul did here, he said, God is my witness. So if you see me, you see him. Plus the fact Amen. That you saw all these other miracles. So, yes, I said it, and I'm going to show you why I said it. So when we were studying it, when we read that scripture where he ran it down to them, about, you know, you do this based off fleshly things. I'm telling you from the spirit. God the Father who sent me, who sees him, and I bear witness therefore. So once he broke it down all the facts, then they stand there looking silly in the face, as Mom and Dad used to say. And that is kind of what
right.
I'm doing. I'm flipping the script on you. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to clap back right at you and what you're going to say, because you may not want to admit it, but both of us know that you're wrong and I'm right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It reminds me of this crazy media thing that goes on these cable news networks. They know the truth and keep perpetrating the lie. Same thing with these politicians. They know the truth, keep perpetrating the lie. Same thing with these religious leaders. Know the truth, keep perpetrating the lie. Trying to manipulate people
right.
by wielding this darkness stuff to do what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. And so Paul says in verse 20, says, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preach that they should repent, turn to God, and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. And so Paul is telling them, you saw me preach in Damascus, you see me preach to Jerusalem, you see me preach to Judea, then to the Gentiles. So I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. In other words, if you preach the gospel and people truly have received forgiveness of sin, Dr. G, somewhere along the line, there needs to be some kind of sign. You can't be saved and keep acting like the devil. I said I wasn't going to meddle tonight, Doc, but you can't be saved. You can't have your faith in Jesus. You can't have repented and turned to God and still keep acting like the devil all the time. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And if we are legit, if we're serious, if we're real about this walk with Christ, you cannot hear that word and continue to live in darkness or, you know, refuse to come into the light. There's just no way in the world if we are for real. And I guess that little word is the biggie right there, because a lot of folks just go through the motions. They put on a front for everybody else so folk will think that there's something else. But if people are legitimate, there's no way in the world they can continue to live like that.
Amen, amen. And so then he goes on to say, he says, and now he... Sheila G, now he getting into the Jews Kool-Aid. He gonna get into their Kool-Aid. And he goes on in verse 21, he says, that is why some Jews seized me in the temple court and tried to kill me. Oh my God. Did he put him on blast, Sheila G? He just put it on blast. He just told him the truth. He said, look, their deeds don't line up with what their mouth is saying. In other words, you saying one thing with your mouth, but your behind is doing something else. And so because I put you on blast, that your actions are not lining up with what you're talking about, you won't kill me. And this is the point where he's calling them out. Folks don't like to get called out. Folk don't like for you not to sugarcoat it. They want you to sugarcoat it and dance around it. But Paul said, because I told you your deeds should line up with the God that you say you serve, and your deeds don't line up, you want to kill me. Help me out, Sheila G.
I just thought about, you know, you see that in the church a lot of times when you got the little devils in the church wanting to run the church. But then when the pastor or the leadership stands on the word of God, then they start to act ugly. But if it's a true pastor, the true pastor is going to tell the truth. And it brought me back to that time where, I know we shared it on more than one occasion, when there was a church meeting and they called the pastor was making changes. He people. Like, we're not going to judge people. We're not going to pass judgment on people. We're not going to be putting people out of choirs and this, that, and the other. We're going to let the Holy Spirit reign. This is what the Word of God is. If the Holy Spirit says we're going to deviate from the program a little bit on Sunday morning, we're going to deviate from the program a little bit on Sunday morning. We have to let the Holy Spirit reign from reign. But what we're not going to do is judge people for the mistakes they made like we haven't. Well, then they start to calling each other, like just like these Jews, calling each other and going to force the pastor to do what they say or not. And this is when Ma was in a car with us on the way to this call meeting, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood up and told the people, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But Pastor Gregory stood up and he said, look, I do what God, just like Paul, I do what God tells me to do. And God is telling me that in order for this church to grow, we cannot be judgmental of other people with their mistakes like we haven't made mistakes ourselves. And he quoted scripture. He went to the Word
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, you got to get that big beam out of your eye first. How are you going to judge somebody else? And he said, but you know what? My wife and I are going on vacation. We're getting ready to leave. We're going to leave after this. And y'all, look, people on the side, religious leaders, pray about this. And if you don't want a pastor that's standing on the Word of God, let me know. My resignation is right here. And we left. We went on vacation. One of the people that was acting the ugliest died, never talked about it again. And as you see, New Birth's getting ready to celebrate 60 years. But had he come to the itchy eyes, and been intimidated by those that wanted to kill him. They didn't want to kill him, but they wanted him to either compromise, do things their way, not necessarily God's way, or leave. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. You can't force me to go. I'm more afraid of what God would do to me if
there
I don't follow
you go. There you go.
You would do
Amen.
To me. And it's been so ingrained, like these Jews, it's so ingrained that they couldn't see the simpleness of what he's trying to do as far as saving people's lives. But you're so jealous of somebody else's blessings, of what God is trying to do with somebody else, that you can't see that you can have some of this as well.
Amen. Amen. And like you were saying, God is the one that's going to have the final say. So they were trying to kill him.
Yep.
But I always love the word but in the Word of God. And in our modern English language, but is a conjunction that it says that the first part of the sentence, or the first part of thought, is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you might try to kill me, which is the first part of the first part of the thought. when especially in the Word of God, where but is followed by God, oh my goodness. That means that God understands that there's going to be some stuff that's going to occur, and I'm just going to leave it there with the stuff that's going to occur. We talked about dog doo doo on Sunday. Lord have mercy, it was stinking in the church, but we just called it dog doo doo tonight. We're just going to call it stuff. When stuff is happening in among God's people in the church, Lord have mercy.
Yep. Yep.
God will allow it to stink for a little while, amen.
Yeah.
But God, amen, eventually is going to take care of it. And that's what we were talking, it was stinking. So Paul is telling the Jews, and he's telling the religious leaders, the Romans at this time, it's stinking, y'all. And God's word is going to come in. It's going to shine some light. It's going to show you how you can take a spiritual bath, get that stink of sin off of you, be forgiveness, amen, and so you can not have to walk in that stink no more. And see, when you're walking in that stink, that anybody ever stepped in dog stink and you're tracking it everywhere you go, you get in the car, what is that smell? You walk on the road, what is that smell? You oh my God, somebody stepped in, you know, and you know, it was stinking, but the word but followed by God, oh my God, is something that has changed so many people's lives around. Somebody said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. They said, but what? the master of the sea heard my disparaging cry. From the water lifted me, now safe what am I? And so here Paul is saying, you tried to kill me, but God has helped me this very day. So I stand here and testify to the small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. In other words, he's saying, you try to kill me, but God's word is magnified because of your actions here. And see, that's a lot of things. Like you said, you're celebrating your 60th year. And the folks that tried to tear the church down for 60 years have only magnified it that you've gotten to 60 years. Folks that try to tear your life down, but because of God, now your life is even in a greater platform. Those who try to tear down people and institutions, but because of their actions, their motives were brought to light, and God has shined a light in their darkness, and now they're exposed for what they are and who they are and who they're following. And so when you see that, but God, that means that, yeah, there's going to be some rough time. Yeah, there's going to be some stank. There's going to be some rough things going on. But ultimately, God is going to get the glory. What man meant for your bad going on 60 years, Lord have mercy, God has turned around for his what? Good. Dr. G, I didn't mean to preach tonight. Help me out here.
Right on. You're doing well. You are absolutely correct. Whatever man means for evil, God can use that and turn it around. And as you and Sheila were talking, you know, I go back and I think about, although I've only been at New Birth for 28 years, there was a lot going on. I told folk a few Sundays ago, I could write a book about all that we've gone through at that church. And each time when folk rose the head to try to, you know, allow Satan to use them, but God would step in. And what I've learned is that it doesn't really matter what people want or what people want to do. If you hold your ground, stand on that word, God will see you through.
Amen. Sheila G, help me out here.
Amen. That's the bottom line. I can't add or take away from either of what both of you said. It's all about standing on God. And that little song that we sang as kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you let God's light shine, it will chase away any darkness.
Amen. And I like what he says here in the middle of verse 22. He says, so I stand. He says, so I stand here and testify to the small and great alike. In other words, nobody is above God. And that's what folk got to recognize. You might be in a position of power, man, but you're not in a position of power that's above God. And if you're in a position where you're in a position where you're small, stand up to God's standards, because God is not a respecter of person. So whether you're great or whether you're small in stature, it all has to come into the direction or under the authority of God, whether it's great or small. And Paul said, whether you're great or whether you're small, he said, I stand here and testify to the great and small. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. And in verse 23, here he goes. And he preaching this gospel. In verse 23, he said that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to arise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. And this is what got Paul in trouble when he started messing with the Pharisees. He said, do you believe in resurrection from the dead? And they said, oh, Lord, he's preaching that truth. He's preaching that word. We're going to have to get rid of him because that's going to mess us up with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which is going to mess us up with the Roman authority, which is going to mess up our whole little social network. And so we got to kill him to get him out of here. But Paul says, I'm standing against the great and the small. He said, I'm preaching nothing beyond the prophets and Moses, and that the Messiah would suffer. The Jews, y'all know it. You want to act like you don't know it, but this is what Moses and the prophets preach. and he will be killed, and he will be the first to be risen from the dead. And he's, oh, gosh, he's talking that stuff. And he's talking straight to King Agrippa and all of those around him. He said, we'll bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. So I'm talking to the Jews and the Gentiles. And in verse 24, he says, at this point, Festus couldn't take it no more. Sheila D. And verse 24, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. Oh, wait a minute. You turn it up. You're paying up too much stuff now. He said, you are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. In other words, he tried to out-talk him. He tried to shut him up. It reminded me of those folks that were down in Tennessee. They call them the Tennessee Three, where they were trying to tell folk that young people in school getting shot by military weapons that are used on the battlefield is wrong, and y'all know it's wrong, but because these folks that make the guns are lying in your pockets, you're not going to do nothing. They said, turn the mic off. We don't want to hear from them. Turn it off. Turn the mic off. No, y'all too extreme. You're not following the decorum of the house. Decorum, and they start slapping the jaw. Turn the mic off, kick them out. We can't have this because they talk about the money that we're getting. Sheila G, help me out.
From the NRA, the money, and kick them out. And they bounce right back in Memphis, Tennessee. Those young state senators and state congressmen. But it also, you were thinking about that one. I was thinking about when the judge, the black woman judge, her mind is. Escaping me, but when she had to go in front of the Senate, and every time that she would body slam them, they would try to overtalk her. And at one point, she actually said, let me finish.
I knew this. So, you talking about Ketanji Brown?
Yeah.
Supreme Justice? Yeah.
Yes, with her little small black intelligent self. And they were, the congressmen, the senators were trying to overtalk her when she was making her point, and she was quoting the law that they were trying to twist, and they would try to overtalk her, and she just said, let me finish. And it was like, and she got to finish her sentence. So it's like, I may be, like you said, small in stature. I may be a woman, but what you're not going to do is overtalk me because I'm not crazy. I know what I'm talking about. So if you want to get embarrassed,
yeah,
you want to get embarrassed.
Here we go. And that's exactly what Paul said in verse 25. He says, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. And he still kept his cool, you know, and that's one of the things we all have to remain humble and focused to not lose our cool, because if we do lose our cool, then what happens is our message will be skewed. But
right.
We have to stand on the word of God. And so Paul continues on. He said, I'm not insane. In verse 25, most excellent Festus, Paul replied, what I am saying is true and reasonable. And so here he's cutting through all the fanfare. He's cutting through all the social media. He's cutting through all the religious and political reasoning. And he's saying, I am the one of truth and reasonableness. I'm reasonable. I'm true. And then you go back to the king, Lord have mercy, the big man. The big kingmaker. And he says in verse 26, the king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner.
Uh-huh.
And he's using this strategy to the biggest guy in the room, the big king, the one that's holding it all together. And in verse 27, he puts him on blast, Dr. G. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? and then he follows that question up with a simple statement. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see the pause all over the whole room. Like, okay, now what are you going to say? It's like, oh, my goodness. I'm on blast. Everybody's waiting for my response. Paul is speaking truth in a reasonable manner. He's speaking the truth. Everybody knows it's the truth. And he's coming to meet a big king who wanted to hear the case. They wanted to be, you know, famous on the news and everything. And now he's got me on blast. And he I can see him put his chin on his hand and look at King Agrippa and saying, King, I can speak directly. Let me read it again. He said, verse 26, the king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice. In other words, he knows what's going on because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And then he follows up and says, I know you do. So now what you going to do? Basically what he said, ball's in your court.
Yep.
Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, the thing with Paul, which I love about him and I admire, you know, the Holy Spirit caused that boy to be bold. And when the Spirit gets in you, you can't do anything but just speak the truth. And I love the way he was dignified, but he was professional. And he allowed the Lord to use him to say what needed to be said. And the whole way that he did it was perfect.
Amen. So he asked the question, and here is how the big grip replies in verse 28. He says, then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? what could he say? He couldn't say, yeah, I believe it. He couldn't say that I don't believe it. So he had to come up with this political response, Sheila G. I'll say, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And then Paul hits him back. And he says, verse 9, Paul replies, short time alone, I pray to God that not only you, but all, now he's meddling, Sheila G., but all who are listening to me, oh my God, you're putting the whole group on blast now.
Yeah.
All who are listening to me today may come what I am except for these chains. Lord have mercy. Sheila G., he done put all of them on blast in the room. He done owned the room. The Holy Spirit done owned the room. And all of them looking silly face, as Ma would say, silly in the face, because they know they all wrong, loud and wrong. And the Holy Spirit, through God's servant, has put him on blast. Help me out, children.
Amen. And that's the thing. That's what I said way back when. It just came with the simple word of God, the light of God, basically said that this is how you can have salvation. That's why I said, it's not like I'm staying in the corner. It's not like I'm not sharing the good news with a certain number of people. You could be saved, too, if you weren't so stubborn, but they're stubborn.
And so, Dr. G, in today's vernacular, Paul dropped the mic. after he said that, except for these chains, in other words, he said, I want all y'all to be like me, except for these ridiculous chains you got on me. And then the mic went, it went like this. He dropped the mic. There's nothing else going to be said. And so what did they do? There's nothing else they could do because he dropped the mic. He gave his defense. He laid it out. He dropped the mic. And in verse 30, it says the king rose and with him the governor. And Bernice, in other words, all the pomp and circumstance, these folks, the socialites, the influencers, they had to get up, they had to leave, and they got up, and in verse 31 it says, and they left what? Left the room. What else is there to be said? They began saying to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. In other words, we're in trouble because we can't say anything against this because he spoke the truth. What are we going to do? What else is going to do? We don't know what we're going to do. And then the big money Agrippa says in verse 32, Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So now here's the political point where now they're getting out of the place where they have to make a decision. So, well, he appeared to Caesar, and so it's out of our hands. So in other words, we're saving face because we don't have to deal with this. Because if we did deal with it, we're not going to win. So we're going to pass this thing. And you see it in corporate America. You see it everywhere where they're passing the buck. They pass the buck so they don't have to deal with it. So they don't have to be on the record of making a decision for right instead of for wrong. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. As I said, kick the can down the road, find another excuse, put it in somebody else's lap. Not my problem, but I don't want to take responsibility, but I'll point the finger at somebody else. And that happens a lot in corporate. That happens in the politics where they try to know. And politicians use the whole, well, what the American people want. And when they say that, yeah. I'm like, anybody ask me? It's like, American people want gun laws. But they'll say, but the American people don't want you to take their guns away. The American people want you to deal with mental health. You just making that crap up, as you said earlier. Dog doo up. American people. No, we want better gun laws so people start shooting up our children in grocery stores and synagogues and stuff. But they, in this vernacular world now, the politicians will always throw in there, but what the American people want, no. We got the text to show that you don't even believe what you're saying.
Exactly. And here, exactly what Paul told them the truth and basically put their stuff on blast. So you don't even believe what you're saying. So believe the truth. I want you to be like me, except for these silly chains that you got me in. He put them on blast. That's all I can say. And now they don't even want to be on social media. And they got up and left. They don't want to be in the spotlight no more. They don't want to be a part of the pomp and circumstance. They tucked their tail and they said, well, it's not for us to decide. We're going to send him to Caesar. If he hadn't said these things, then he wouldn't be put. He didn't deserve death. And so they washed their hands with it, sort of what Pontius Pilate did with Jesus after he went from courthouse to courthouse. And he said, the blood's not on my hand. They want it. And like you said, kick the can down the road. And this is a lot of times what people do when they want to have it both ways. And you got to stand on the truth. You got to stand for something. You got to stand for the truth. And if you don't stand on the truth, then you have to follow and you have to believe that lie. And we see that in today's world when people aren't standing on what's true and reasonable according to the word of God, they get led away in darkness to follow the lies of this world. So we're going to go to phone lines tonight. We're going to ask questions. Amen. About trying to have it both ways. Have you found that you can't have it both ways? We're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 1741, 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I found out you can't have it both ways. There's only one way, and that's the way that God has set it up.
Amen.
Amen.
When we do it His way, then we don't have to worry.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next call. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I guess I found out that you can't have it both ways. And when you really get into the Lord and you about Him, you don't even want it both ways, you know, because you know which way is going to work.
Right.
His way is the only way to work. And
Amen.
You don't want it both ways. So, yes, I found out, and it was a lesson learned, and I appreciate that lesson because I know who God is. He's bigger. Nobody's bigger than Him. Can't nobody touch Him. And I don't even want it both ways.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. last four digits, 7611. 7611. Good evening.
Good evening. There's only one way. Mama all that always talk one way. You never know it was two ways. If we tried it, even thought we would think about two ways. So, it's only God's way. We work that's it that right. way, and that's where you're going to work it. And we never try to go to any other way but the way God wants to go, and that's coming from the Bible.
Amen.
Never try to go any place else. No, ma'am. Only God.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. From experience, I have learned that trying to do it both ways, you stay in fear. And once you do it God's way, you feel so powerful because you feel so powerful, so confident. And I feel the reason for that is because you're doing it his way. So it's like he's giving you strength, power, and confidence that you mm-hmm. know that, you know, he's with you. So I feel there is no other way. You can't do it both ways.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Yeah, for years, you couldn't tell me that I wasn't doing it both ways, man. I thought I was in the world, and then I did what I had to do on Sunday, and I could jump back in the world, and I thought everything was good. But, oh, when God gets your attention, brother, sister, it's life-changing. You feel startled, like, wait,
yeah.
what? I'm not doing this right. And then you start seeing people fall by the wayside. You start experiencing things. You start to realize you can't do both because it's either God's way or no way, or some of the other callers stated. And I think, you know, as Christians, we're consistently inconsistent with that because it's like we're trying to please the world and man. And like it's the old quote that you guys said years ago, I heard my whole life, and it started making sense before about serving two masters, because you're going to love one and hate the other. Because as we've talked about before, God's way is not popular. God's way is not quick. God's way requires patience and faith, things that the Christian struggles with and has struggled with for thousands of years. So the world's way paints a different picture, and that's why I think we get caught up. But I know for me, it's something I have to consistently work at, even when I recognize the error in my ways and I had to do better. Just that recognition alone is like, okay, I know I'm doing wrong. I have to do better. You got to continue to put the work in. You're going to continue to be tempted. Sometimes you're going to even start treading that way and not even realizing what you're doing. So it's really being consciously aware and being intentional in everything that you do, because as we stated, sometimes we're in sin and we're doing things the wrong way and we don't even realize it until something happens. So I think for me, recognizing it is one thing, but putting those steps in and putting those red flags in and signs and say, hey, you're doing all right, but now you got to tighten up on certain things, because it's a continual work. And I think that's the problem. We're not committed enough. Nobody wants to hear that, hey, you got to work at this for the rest of your life. There's not, like in life, it's like, okay, you achieve something, that's done, it's over. But it's like Christianity, it's a day by day, hour by hour, look, forever, for the rest of your life. So it's like you got to continuously work on it. And I think we have to be realistic with ourselves as Christians that, yeah, you can recognize it, you can talk about it on this call, but if you're not continuously working at it day in and day out, you're going to sometimes unknowingly still be trying to balance and do both. And it's not sustainable. And ultimately, we know where the end goal is going to be. And you won't be able to have any excuses when you close your eyes for the last time. And ultimately, the Lord is going to decide your eternal fate. So definitely recognizing it is one. But if we don't continuously, daily put that work in, we're going to easily go back trying to please God and both please the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, that's going to do it for tonight. Out of time. You have a final comment and close it out in prayer, please, sir.
Sure. I was sitting here thinking about what Brandon was saying, that, you know, we have to really become committed and understand, just like the Lord said in his word, that my ways are not like your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. And if we get enough spiritual whoopings, we'll get it, that it's going to be done the way God wants. So we might as well go on with it. Let us pray.
I know this,
God, right. Thank you for just another evening, Father. We thank you for what we've learned. We thank you for Brother Paul. Lord, help us now to continue to give us that Holy Ghost boldness that we need every day. Father, I pray for our world. I'm praying for churches. I'm praying for all of these leaders. Oh, God, I pray that they would one day come to the fact and the realization that they need you in our life. Father, we praise you right now. We thank you. We give you all the glory. But we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.